The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
You must get set. Don't have long meetings like this. You must get set that there are days we could come and God do not have us teach. We could just pray. We could just rejoice and just go. And it's still okay. You know, he's the Lord of the church. Whatever he wants done is fine. End point is that somehow, your needs will be met. Amen. Okay, let's see. Let's see what we can do today. Yesterday I did something just following what I may call apostolic way of teaching. So, you notice 1 Corinthians 12 is about spiritual gifts. Paul opened up by saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. That's 1 Corinthians 12. Amen? So, he ran from that verse 1 down to the last verse. And when he got to verse 31, he said, covet earnestly the best gifts. That's verse 31, the last verse. Covet earnestly the best gifts. He now said, yet show I you a more excellent way. Then he got into chapter 13 and began to talk about love. Are you following? And then ended that chapter of love and then opened up the next chapter 14. That's chapter 14, verse 1 now. He said, follow after charity and desire to be talking. So he came back to his teaching on spiritual gifts. So, what does that tell you? The teaching on love in chapter 13 is not different from the teaching on spiritual gifts. I strongly believe that there is no complete teaching yet on spiritual flows if you've not taught on the love of God. Because that is the order and the pattern that Paul the Apostle used. So, he started talking about spiritual gifts. In the midst of the teaching, inserted a very powerful teaching on the love of God. And return back to teaching spiritual things. They are not different. You cannot learn love and not learn spiritual things. You cannot learn spiritual things and not learn love. You know what I'm saying? They are that closely related. And I showed you the relationship yesterday. Right? So we'll try to drive back. I want to touch something I'm promising I'm going to talk about today. Let me talk about, because actually I opened up with telling you that I'll show you how to steer up these gifts. Maybe when I'll be rounding up today, if we get there, I will go back to that steering of the gifts. But let me say a few things about special anointings. Amen. No, leave them. Yeah, leave them. If you are distracted, then you just want to be distracted. It's a blessing. Isn't it? That children can run around. It's a very good blessing. Say amen. Amen. And it's a good thing you bring your kids to service. Don't always assume they're not learning anything. They are. And if you want to see if they're learning something, let a secular song be playing in the background over time. When it be playing, they'll start singing it with you. So they're learning. And some of you have observed, you can stay with your kids in the house sometimes, and they'll start singing some songs we sing in church here. They'll just have humming it and play with it. They're listening. Something is entering them. Do you understand? So don't have that habit. You know the history of scripture union. You know about scripture union? You know the history of scripture union? The history of scripture union actually is those days people come to church and they just come with their kids. They have a place, a play park where they keep for the children to be playing while the adults are in church listening. So a young man called Josiah Spears paid attention to that pattern and figured that if this continues this way, in the next couple of years, there will be no future. So what did he do? When the adults are in church worshipping and do whatever, the children are in the park playing, he will go there and begin to teach them. That's how scripture union started. That was happening. More kids were coming. More kids were coming. And they kept teaching. So the first name of scripture union was CSSM, Children Special Service Mission. You get the point? So they taught them. That was actually, they began to hold camp meetings with those kids. After some time, they changed the name to Children Scripture Union. Do you understand? But eventually, kids will grow up. So they now grew up, they now grew children, and it now became scripture union. You know, it's an error that we must not make. Don't leave your kids at home. Okay? If your message is playing, let them be around. They're getting something. They're not as dull as you think they are. Especially Umuaka, this generation, this particular generation. These people, they are very smart. They're very smart. Before they are four, they're correcting your grammar. Correcting your spoken English. Say, that that's not how to say it. Glory to God. So get your kids to church. It's a good blessing. But let me announce this already. At Zoe, there will be a special kid fest for the kids. There will be Zoe kid fest. You can celebrate that. Yes, it's a good thing. So if you have kids, Friday morning, Saturday morning, they'll be having their own special Zoe too. As we are having our own. Is that not good? As they're having their own, I'm already working on their program of events too, as I'm working on our own. So having their program, they're having their own, they're getting blessed, they're getting blessed. Say amen. So it's always a good thing. It's always a good thing. The kids are not dull. And that's the problem. People look at you now. We are predominantly young persons. Okay? Yet in some places, when they call youth meeting, all they bring is entertainment, games, dance, dance. You know, because youths want very engaging. You're a young person here. You've been hearing gospel for the past 30 days. Now you're praying. So actually, youths love to pray. Children love to pray. They love to listen to God's word. So have, of course, the kids will be very engaged. There are many things we'll bring for them. Okay? We'll bring many games for them. Do you understand? There'll be games that will keep them engaged throughout that meeting. So don't be afraid to bring your kids. As you're invited before, so we tell them, you have children, bring them. They will not distract you in the program. They'll be having their own special class. And we are doing our own. It's just because God will still give us our facility. When our facility comes fully, every meeting we have here will have a kids session. Tidings of light. There will be tidings of light for kids. For real. Everything. Say amen. So that as you are learning, they are learning too. As you're growing, they are growing. Amen. So stay focused. That's what I'm trying to say. If it's better, they'll stop this shout, they won't. So just be enjoying it. Do you love the word? Focus. They won't stop. I don't even wish that they stop it. It's fine. Glory to God. Okay, so I want to talk about special graces, or what we call special anointing. Remember, we are talking about the house of God, right? Uh-huh. Now, that is why I want to talk about this is, I've been saying, we all have the gifts of the Spirit. We all have the nine gifts. But then, experientially, you observe that there are people that flow in certain things more than others. Have you observed that? There are people that just flow in the prophetic more than others. And there are people that just flow in the healing. Why is that so? Because I have to bring that balance. Yes, we all have the gifts of the Spirit. But there are people that tend to possess certain things more than other people. Again, I'm establishing and I'm still establishing that we all have the nine gifts of the Spirit. I've shown that many times in the Bible. Ephesians 12 verse 4 tells us, there is one Lord, one faith, one body, one spirit, even as they are called in 1 Peter verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So verse 4 makes it clear that it's one spirit. So it is the same spirit that I carry, that you carry. So it's the same Holy Spirit. The full dose, the full version of that Holy Spirit is what I have. That's what you have too. Is it very clear? And so, we all have these things. However, there are special graces. Let me clarify. When we talk about special graces, it doesn't mean that there are different Holy Spirits. No. So, there is one Holy Spirit. There is one Spirit of God upon all of us. I have the same Holy Spirit that you have. There are no different Holy Spirits. There are just different expressions of the gift of God. There are just special abilities. Let me give you an example, for instance. In the Old Testament, Samson. That ability of God to be able to kill lion, carry building, do whatever, was a special grace that God gifted him. Now, it's the same Spirit of God working it out. But upon Samson, it translated to strength. Samuel didn't have that kind of strength in the physical. Moses didn't have it in the physical. Samson had it. We are going to see why that can happen. I get what I'm saying? People can have special things that others don't have. Let me clarify. It's not like they don't have it in them, but it will gain much more expression in some people more than others. And there's a reason. I get the point. There's a reason. I'm going to give you a few reasons why that can happen. You know, the first reason, for instance, why that can happen is because of God's calling or the assignment that God has given them. Meaning, when there is a, for instance, a pastor, someone called to be a prophet, there will be certain gifts of God that will be working more in him because of his assignment. There will be certain gifts that will be working more. For instance, perfect example, if someone called to be a prophet, he will find it easy to do things like word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Not as though other believers cannot do it, but because of his assignment, because of the ministry that God has given him, he will be able to do those things easier than others. It's the same Holy Spirit. You get what I'm talking about? But then assignment. So an example I've already given you is Samson. In Judges 13 verse 5, you see that because of this, the assignment of the man Samson. Now, say, for Lord, I shall conceive and bear a son. Notice I come upon his head. For the child shall be an answer from the Lord. Or to God from the womb. But now, what is the assignment? What is the assignment? He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He shall begin. So, his assignment demanded warfare. Combat. Because the Israelites were in bondage. So, he had to be graced that way. Because of that assignment. So, you see someone that is called, for instance, into missions. To get into certain villages. To get into places where the gospel has never gotten to. To get into Islamic communities. There are special abilities that will find easier expression in that person for his assignment. If not, he cannot fulfill it. So you see people that stand as evangelists in that way, it's always this thing called miracles is always easier with them. Working of miracles. Because they need for that assignment there. You understand the point? They need it for that assignment. It doesn't mean you cannot all flow in all of them. I'm just trying to show you something. That for assignment purposes, people can be graced for certain things because of the call of God upon their life. Again, that's why you don't envy people. Because there are some things you can never do. Because the people doing it do not even choose to do it. It's just God's grace. That's you know, it's, and the thing I've explained to you, that grace, that calling always precedes the person that has the call. It came before you were born. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I have ordained you to be a prophet. In other words, you see Jeremiah seeing visions and what have you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You see Jeremiah seeing visions and what have you. Okay? Because God ordained him. But let me clarify something. That's something God brought to my spirit very strongly very now. Right now. Now, the fact that someone has been graced to be a prophet from the womb, as in before he was born, does not mean that a person will get up at 4, at 5, at 6, and he's seeing things. Most times when that is happening, and there is no spiritual environment, on church environment, that person is operating under strong familiar spirits. Most times the devil is trying to counterfeit the hand of God upon that person. Because, so ask me why, there is no way someone can flow in the things of the spirit without being born again. Do you understand what I told you now? So is this the one that has not been born again? Man, I see from what you obey, from where he is a child, he sees things. You have to investigate that thing. Investigate it. There may be a genuine call in there that the devil is trying to counterfeit. I agree what I'm saying. You can say, from the day he got born again and began to speak in tongues, began to flow in this is normally. It's understandable. But is this someone that from his child, from a child rather, 3, 4, 5 years, he's seeing things. There is no, sometimes they don't go to church. Sometimes there's no record of him being born again. So there's a spirit trying to manipulate that particular gift upon him. So I'm not talking about that kind of crazy stuff that people do all over the place. That's what I'm saying. You get the point? You see, they say there's a small boy. From where he's small, he used to see. Be careful. You have to be very sure that that guy is even saved. If he's not saved, he cannot be operated by the Spirit of God. It's not possible. He cannot. That's how they get into palm reading. Say, how do you say it in Igbo? Like it came with him. He didn't learn it. He was born like that. No, sir, it doesn't work. When it has to do with the gift of God, God can preordain you to be a prophet.
But you must be saved
to start prophesying.
So most of them have to watch that thing. Anything people can flow in, whether they are born again or not, cannot be the gift of God.
Did you know what I said?
Anything you can flow in, whether you are born again or not. That's why I tell singers, talking about singers now, singing, you can sing whether you are born again or not. That's why singing does not translate to a calling. Because whether you are saved or not, that ability is there. Now, can God use that your singing ability to work for Him? Yes, He can. But the fact that you can sing when you are grown up doesn't mean you have a calling. So that's the same way you call somebody, say, they came back to this child, he has never, he just sees things.
Be careful. Be careful.
Find out what's talking to him. Because spirits torment children.
Are we following what I'm talking about here?
Because it's actually when I was growing up, when I was younger in the faith, that people share those testimonies and I'm like, wowed. They say, that child, even when he was three, he was seeing things. Even before they started going to church, he was seeing this. Please, Pat, be very careful. Be very careful that you do not begin to permit a familiar spirit to operate. Amen. But I'm saying all of this to say, before I formed in the womb, I've known you. So there is a call of God. And when there is that call, you find that when a person gets saved, some things just become easy. Now, growing up as a Christian, for instance, as I never loved to teach the Bible. I didn't like it, actually, when I was, I didn't like teaching. I just like power. Because teaching was not popular when I was growing up, at least in my area. But I know that it was very easy for me to teach the Bible. Very, very easy. You just asked me to, yes, I will explain this to you. The first day, the first person that ever called me a teacher was the first person that mentored me. She said, prepare a message. So I just said that the way I organized the message, structured it, she said, you're a teacher. That's what she said. Because that kind of organization, she has not seen it in many places. Now, it's not, I didn't learn it. It's not intelligence. That was possibly because of the assignment I had. So it comes much more easy. Are you people what I'm talking about? It comes easier. So I'm trying to show you something. So first, because of the assignment they have, they can carry special anointing, special grace. Number two reason why people can carry special graces. Are you here? They can receive now whenever there is a special responsibility that God gives you part time, there's always a special grace He gives you for that. Let me say that again. Now this is not just about calling now. This is not about calling to be a pastor or what have you. Special responsibility. For instance, you are in church here. I'm going to show you this in the Bible. You are in church here. And we pick you and make you the cell leader for whatever. Now, He will grace you. If you are careful, you observe that after you have made that, and if you align yourself well, some special graces will begin to work in your life that you didn't notice before. That is God gracing you for that particular office. So, let me give you some examples. In Acts chapter 6, when they picked those seven deacons, they laid their hands on them. Why did they lay hands on them? Because there is something that should come upon them for that office. That's how we practice it here. Every time I make you a leader, I must lay hands on you. Because I believe that there are certain things that should begin to work in your life just because you came into that office. That will empower you for that assignment. So it doesn't matter whether you've done leadership in many places before. There are special graces for every office that God puts you into. So they set those guys for the apostles and put hands on them. Of course, what manifested, by the time we get to verse 7, verse 7 said, a great number of the priests, the word of God increased, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8, Stephen, a man full of faith and power. Miracles broke out in the ministry of Stephen. That was not seen before. I know what I'm saying? Go two chapters after that, you meet Philip. He went to Samaria. It was that impartation. So, there are certain things that begin to work upon people just because, let me give an example of what I'm saying. Even if someone does not, this is a perfect example, does not possess the gift of faith, as we call it. Of course, we all have it. Even if he doesn't understand it. But then, we make him, maybe I'm leaving this center now, and I say, I'm going to make someone a pastor. Pick any random person. And I make him a pastor and anoint him. Now, when that person speaks by the Spirit and says things are turning around, things will turn around. There's not a special ability on him because of that thing I've given him to handle. Are you what I'm talking about? So that's where you find out the person might not be praying as much as other people, but that thing is working in his life. Because God has to meet his people. And he's the one standing there. So God has to meet his people somehow through him. This is why, let me digress to say, that's why you realize, I want to say this again, that the exercise of spiritual gifts is not a proof for spiritual growth. The fact that someone is healing the sick doesn't mean the person is spiritually mature. Someone can be flowing the spirit so dangerously and yet is not spiritually mature. Because I tell you, if I pick anybody here, I say for now, for the next 1 year, you're going to be a pastor of this place. I want to travel to Australia. Amen. And I'm going to spend 1 year there. And I'm going with my wife, don't worry. Amen. So I'm going to pick who now? Anybody. Anybody. Even the most unexpected person. Eh? Like Blessing. Share that's your name. Just say Blessing now. You are going to pastor this church. Do people know Blessing? Know her now. She's been hiding. That's her name. Her name is Blessing. So I'm going to be Blessing pastor this church. Now, maybe she's even a very quiet person who doesn't talk. If she just begins to speak by the Spirit, say, may you be healed. You notice things will be happening. Because that's what Moses did for Joshua. He picked Joshua and laid hands on him. And Bible says, Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses, the man of God, had laid hands on him. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, quickly. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom for Moses had laid his hands upon him. So that wisdom began to operate. Even if Joshua wasn't a wise man naturally, because there was now an assignment coming into his hand, you get the point? That wisdom came upon him by Moses laying on his. So when God puts someone in a new office, he can grace that person. And I'm going to say to some of you that are leaders in this place, you are not ordinary. For the assignment that God has put in your hand, you are graced for it. Just that many of you don't know. Many of you don't know that as a leader, you can pray certain prayers over your people and it will work. For the bare fact that you are their leader, it's a grace God has given you, at least while you are serving in that office. I get the point. And I was trying to teach the ministers this. Last year, we set up commitment group, financial commitment group. And I always used to tell them, make sure that your people are prospering. Because we put everybody in different groups. Make sure people under you are prospering. Do you know why? For me to put those people under them, and I say, they are in charge of, they are now in their financial commitment group. It means there is an ability that is already upon you. That if you provide their finance, something is going to work. That even if you are not throwing in that not normally, that's a grace that comes with that office. I guess get what I'm talking about, friends. Let me tell you this. Shocking things I've seen in ministry. Shocking things. I've seen a pastor stay on this with a man flowing dangerous anointings and what have you, and pulls out on the, from that man and goes to start his own church, and that anointing ceases. I'm telling you. Because what he didn't realize, possibly he never got those things by prayer or by fasting or by, he didn't get it. It's just that office is there, and God, so immediately he said, I'm out. God said, I'm out too. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, once you are given an office, one of the things you should begin to trust God is, they've made me the ushering court. They've made me this. They said I should coordinate this cell. They said I should handle welfare team. They said I should handle this group. They said, Father, help me. Put your grace upon me that will help me stand in this office. And he will. Are you following me? He will. Especially when hands are not laid on him for that office. So, there are many examples I've given you. Deuteronomy 34 already. Amen. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. He said, neglect not the gift that is in you, that came upon thee by the laying on of hands, by prophecy, by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Probably like another translation of this. He was referring to Timothy's ordination. Do not neglect spiritual gifts that you received through the prophets spoken over you when the elders of the church laid hands on you. So when Proverbs 32 mentioned ordination. Ordination. I think Proverbs Amplified Classic or other translations. Let's see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you see that? Let's see together. Do not neglect the gift which is in you. That special inward endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit by prophetic utterance when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination. He's telling him that it's a grace that came upon you when you were ordained in ministry, for ministry. And don't think ordination here is maybe what you've made it now. Maybe when Paul was going to leave with Timothy, the elders gathered and, you know, prayed for him and all of that. Paul said something came upon you when that happened. So when there is a special responsibility that God gives a man, because it's actually logical, you can't send a man to go buy pepper and not give him money to buy the pepper. You can't send a man to go to a thing without empowering him to do it. So every time there's a special responsibility from God, there's always a special grace. So that's why you notice that somebody might be flowing in this particular thing more than other people. This may be the reason. Maybe it's because of the assignment that God has given him, and he has to flow in that stuff to fulfill that assignment. Do you follow to this point? So I'll give you two reasons. One, calling. Two, because of special responsibility that God has given him. Three, because of mastery. Mastery is another reason why you can see someone flow in a certain grace more than others. Mastery. What it means is the person has mastered it. He has mastered that particular flow. He has mastered it. Amen. There are about three ways that mastery comes. I can give you, for instance, one of them maybe is knowledge. Knowledge. People can study a particular gift to a point, and because they are paying attention to studying that gift, it becomes, you know, they begin to flow in it more. I can tell you one major way I came in contact with the hidden anointing is knowledge. Because I've told you so many times, I sat down and studied everywhere healing happened. The word healing never appeared in the Bible. Everywhere. Wrote them down with my hand. We didn't have all these phones. With my hand, wrote everything down. Hundreds of verses. Everywhere the word heal. What was I using? I had Bible Congress I was working with. I wrote down everywhere this thing appeared in the Bible. And wrote it down and began to study them one by one. One by one. So by the time I was done with that, I began to visit hospitals. Miracles began to happen. Now, that mastery came by knowledge. Is someone following me this evening? Knowledge. So that's why you notice there is a grace that you actually convert. One of the ways to actually become good at it is study, learn, know about it. Learn it, study it. So mastery is one, as in knowledge is one. Another way that mastery can come, okay, is exposure. Exposure. This one is quite very common. Exposure. What this simply means is that if you expose yourself to meetings and places where these kind of things happen often, okay, if you expose yourself to where these things happen often, it will be easier for you to flow in them. Exposure is what majority of white people look like there. For instance, I always give this example. If you go to a church that, if I let people say this, if you go to a church that emphasizes prophetic, not only will you be prophesying, if you go to a church where all the prophecies they have is there's a curse following you, there's a demon pushing you, there's a witch, when your prophetic starts, that's what you'll be seeing. There's a curse, there's a demon, there's a spirit. Same thing. Because by your exposure, you get the point. That's actually why it's important to be in spiritual meetings. And that's why I want to say, in a church, it's important to be in all kinds of meetings. Whether it's worship meetings, singing, whatever, be around. Because in those exposures, as you stay, for instance, if I'm having a healing meeting, even if you are not sick, come and watch. By that exposure, you are getting exposed. Now, one thing is, whatever your eye sees and your ear hears, your heart is gradually believing that it is possible. Should I say it again? Whatever your eye sees and your ear hears, you are believing it is possible. There are things I say here, you guys, if you know God can do it, but you say, for instance, I've been saying, you know, a dwarf can grow. You are not doubting God. But in your mind, you've reasoned it, a dwarf, how can dwarf go? Trust me, if you are in five meetings, we have five different dwarfs group.
I get the point.
Whenever they bring a dwarf to you, you know that a dwarf can grow. So that's why exposure is very powerful. And that's why every pastor running a church must make sure you are running a supernatural church. Because once you are not exposing God's people to supernatural things, they will find it difficult to master it.
I guess what I'm talking about.
So when I hold meetings, they will sometimes just see me walk around, take it, do this, all of those things. I want you to see that these things can happen. Do you know, I read a story about a man, you know, very funny. He said from the time he got saved, I think it was a guy in God's general, from the time he got saved, he was healing the sick. He had healed a blind man. He had healed a deaf man. As I mean, many miracles. But he said that for 5 years or more of his walk with God, he never got one person filled with the Holy Ghost. So when I read that, I said, this one that we are throwing around like water, like, before even me, I was very well born again. I was laying hands on people and they were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Before I could confirm my salvation. Now, you know the point? He had, in their time, it was very scarce to see people speak in tongues and fall under the power. But it was very common for people to actually get healed. So he began to flow in those things because that was his exposure. I guess you get what I'm saying? That's why you cannot be in a church that does spiritual things. That will make you a very foolish person. But you cannot also be in a church that does not practice spiritual things. Why do you think once in a while in this place I say, oh yeah, talk to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor this. It's not just because I want you to see it happening. Do you understand? Before you came to this church, some of you never knew that you could say anything by the Spirit and it would be correct. But you saw it happen around you. People have done it. Now you are doing it. So when we expose you to certain things over time, you gain mastery over them. And whatever you gain mastery over, it will look like there's a special grace functioning about that. Samuel said to Saul, 1 Samuel 10 verse 5, he said, when you leave this place, you shall meet a company of prophets prophesying. He said, you shall meet them and you shall prophesy. Now, Saul was never called to be a prophet. Never. But he said, when you meet those company of prophets coming down from the high place to the psaltery and tablets and the pipe and the harp before them, they shall prophesy. Go to verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned to another man. So, Saul, there is something waiting for you, but it's until you meet this man. There are people that you must meet in your life. Oh. There are people that if you do not meet, some things will not be activated in your life. Exposures are powerful. Exposures are powerful. The reason, for instance, why some churches are small and the pastor is comfortable is because in the land of the blind, a one-eyed man is the local chief. He has looked around. Their church is not doing that bad. We are about 80 people. In fact, in this whole vicinity, how many churches reach 80? Some 40, some 45. So we are good. If you expose that guy to bigger places, he will see that bigger things are possible. And this is not, I'm moving from spiritual gifts to talk about something. That's why you have to learn to stretch your mind. Before Bishop Oyedepo could conceive the vision of building Covenant University, he went to Orarobot University. Yes. Third Orarobot University. And after that, he said he climbed to the highest point of that university and had a wide view of that university. And he shouted, it can happen anywhere. It can happen anywhere. He had to be exposed to that kind of thing to even know that it is possible for a man to run that kind of thing. Again, digression. Now, that's why traveling once in a while is okay. Do you understand? That's why even if you can't travel, travel on your phone. Don't just use your phone to destroy your spiritual life. See things. See possibilities. Because there are many possibilities. There are many possibilities. Many possibilities. Many things. The business you are running, you are just running, they are comfortable because you are getting 2 million, 3 million. There are bigger ways you can do that thing. You've not just seen it. You know, I was trying to, we were checking out some things in agriculture, and I came in contact with this big farm. This big farm, it's a full factory. It's a full factory. Number one, the pigs don't smell. They are not dirty. They are neat. How they kill the pigs, there's a process. When it's time to take the pigs,
There's a way they pass the key, picks through something, slaughters them, it passes something, processes them, and packages it. Like,
now this is the normal pig farm we are running. Now, the average Nigerian might be able to do that, but it has never crossed his mind that it can happen. So, there is a question. Now, it's the same thing in spiritual things. Sometimes the extent you've gone in your spiritual flows is the extent you think is possible. Because even though you've seen it in the Bible, you've not actually experienced it or been around where it happened. I get what I'm talking about here. That's why it's good for a pastor to get fix different kinds of spiritual meeting. Because all you are trying to tell people when you're fixing those kinds of meetings is this thing can happen. Because if they've never seen it, they will not know it can happen. I guess what I'm talking about here. Yeah. Glory to God. You know, recently the Lord reminded me. That was last year. Earlier this year. Lord said, it's been long. You prayed for a short leg. Some of you that were here earlier. You know, I was even in Abakiliki last year. Was it last year or last 2 years? The first time I got there, someone had a short leg. Minister to let the leg grew. Now, whenever you see a short leg, it's no longer be strange to you because you've seen it happen. But some of you have never seen that kind of stuff. Short leg. Is it possible? Oh, short leg, they grow. In your presence, you see it stretching. It's not in the spirit. You stretch and become equal. But then your mind can never comprehend it. That's why, again, you don't miss meetings. Because for every meeting, whether you learn something or not, there's something God is exposing you to in that meeting. There's something He's exposing you to. There's something He's trying to make you see that this can happen. Are you following me? It's in everything, though. It's in everything. Some of these musicians, some of these guys that sing, if we didn't meet us or meet maybe our kind of church, the kind of music you might be singing now, nothing is wrong with it. I'm just giving an example. You might just be singing all this local akamarama. And that's all you can do. For instance, some of these will be playing keyboard. If not that you came down to Enugu, that you came in contact with us, all you are playing will be kwa 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 kwa. Because that's, you know what I'm saying? Mwaka, mwaka, mwaka. That's what you play. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's the exposure you have. So you have to come out when people are playing and say, so they can even play drums like this. Amen. Now, that's the thing about spiritual gifts. You need some sort of exposure to those things. Now, I want to correct some. I want to give a warning. This doesn't mean that a believer should be running up and down wherever they are doing miracles. He wants to go and see. Don't do that. When God puts you in a local church, He takes into consideration everything you will ever need. And He puts you there. Now, are there other meetings you can attend once in a while? Yes. But don't be in the habit of running up and down from place to place saying, pastor said you have to be exposed. So that doing miracle, then let me go. You might be exposed to something that will destroy you finally. You now go and meet one demon-infested ministry. And you're not exposed properly. Do you understand what I'm saying? So exposure is another way people get mastery. Another way people get mastery is by use. By use. What that simply means is that the things of the spirit, you get better with use. Anything you keep doing, you get better with it. So you notice when you keep doing one particular thing, you know, Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12, he said, seek to excel in the defining of the church. What that simply means is seek to excel in the gift of prophecy. So someone can decide to master a particular gift. That's what I'm trying to show you actually. And these are the ways they can do it. Get knowledge. Get exposed. Use. Keep doing it. Once you keep doing it, you are mastering it. It's just like every other thing in life. I can teach you driving and how to drive. And you have the head knowledge of it. But you see, until you buy a car and you are driving the car around, you've not learned how to drive. Because it's by that constant use that your hand gets strong. So all this I'm teaching about prophecy, see how to do it. Receive a word. Say. You will never master it until you begin to do it consistently. Because that's why people that serve as pastors and leaders and all of that tend to master the Holy Spirit more than others. You know why? They have a platform to always do it. They have a platform to always bless people. Now, you don't have that platform. What of you actually do? What of the streets? That's why if you go to evangelism often, why do you think you should preach someone in 30 days? If you can do that every day, you are giving yourself an opportunity to preach and to minister the supernatural to someone at least once every day. Do that consistently for 3 months. You master something. You become a pro at certain things that you never knew. I get the point. I'm not joking. What I'm saying is, it's possible as you are sitting here that you can actually begin to know people's name, their phone number, their direction, but you will never get there until you constantly flow in word of knowledge. Constantly for a very long time until you master it. That's why, again, and going back to what I told you earlier, I have a problem with people who just say from childhood that boy used to see. Mm-mm. The gift of the Spirit grows with use. Yes, it is easier for other people, but at least even the people that function mightily in the prophetic today that you know, they not start at that capacity to, like that, the way they are today. Even healing. So what did I say? You gain mastery again by use, constant use. Are you still here? So when someone has gained mastery over a certain flow, we can now say, that is like this guy has a special grace. So people that you see that it looks like they have a special grace for this or that is because they've gained mastery over that particular thing over time. They've gained mastery. I get what I'm saying. People that it looks like they have a special teaching grace, some of them, it may just be mastery. Mastery that they gained over it. Are you still here? So I've given you 3 reasons now, right? First, because of the call of God upon people. Second, because of special responsibility that God can, that can be given part time. Thirdly, because of mastery. Maybe they've mastered that flow. So we cannot say, he has a special grace. He may not actually be special as we call it. It might just be that he has mastered how to handle that particular thing. Another reason why there can be special grace upon people is, of course, I've talked about that, but let me just say it again, is training. Training can make you master a certain flow that naturally you did not know how to engage. And over time you become a pro at it because you've been trained for it. That's why training is very important. Amen. Very important. The disciples of Jesus learned how to heal the sick and all of that because Jesus was training them. He was training them to do it. So, let me give an example. I believe with all my heart. There is nobody, I'll use this teaching as an example. There is nobody you bring under me to sit down and I train the person for 1 year. No matter your calling, you'll be able to teach. You will master the teaching flow very, very well. You will master healing. It doesn't matter your calling, you will master healing because if I train you, you will heal the sick. Yes. It's just there. Do you understand? Training can make you do certain things that, in quote, you are not graced to do. Training can make you do certain things. Training can make you teach in certain ways that you never knew. Because that is teaching anointing, but that is also teaching that you master by training. By training. Amen. That's why when I was teaching some of you that come for LMP, when I was teaching at LMP, I said something. I said, there is pastoring as a call. But then, anybody can be trained to pastor. Anybody can be, either have the call or not. You might not, that when you're trained to pastor, you might not have to go start a church. You might not even stand in a major pastor, but all this self-pastor, everybody can be trained to do it. Everybody. So, training makes you a pro, a specially graced child for a particular thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll give an example now with ministry now. Even if you are not, you just can sing, but you don't know how to minister songs on stage. If you stay on the good person that can do that, the person will throw you, start doing it. And you can do it to the point they look like you are born with it. Sometimes you are not born with it, you are just trained by it, or just trained into it. I guess what I'm saying. So you can be trained to prophesy. You can be trained to flow in word of, you can be trained to see. For real. You can be trained to interpret tongues. You can be trained to do certain things. That's why training is super important. Because one of the ways that what looks like a special grace can begin to function in someone's life. Of course, the last one is impartation. I've explained that many times. Impartations. Via impartation, someone can begin to flow in a certain ability that he couldn't flow in before. And become a pro at it. And the example I've already shown you is Deuteronomy 12 verse 9. Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses, the man of God, had laid his hands on him. Simple. So, Joshua was known as a wise man. He came by impartation. So, impartation can give you a special ability, a special anointing. So, you find out all of us have the gift of the Spirit. Again, example, all of us have the nine gifts of the Spirit. Yes. But somebody can go and receive a special impartation, for instance, a word of knowledge, and come back and is fluent dangerously in it. It doesn't mean he has it more than us, but impartation has activated that gift in him to flow in it more than others have been flowing in it. That's one of the things we look forward to every time we call for a Christian meeting, is that some spiritual gifts will be activated inside of me. It should always be your expectation list. Always. That some spiritual gifts will be activated. Paul told them in Romans 1 verse 11, he said, I desire to see you. I desire to see you that I may, along with that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. So there are spiritual gifts that will gain expression when hands are laid. So Zoe is coming now. Put it on your list. That at the end of Zoe, this spiritual gift will be activated in my life. And I will flow better with it. I get the point. Because invitation can make you specially graced for certain things. It can make you specially graced for certain things. I strongly believe that God's anointing on me to minister to deaf and dumb people came by impartation. I've told you that's all right. It came by impartation. I strongly believe. Because I've had failed cases. I strongly believe. So somebody can be specially anointed to minister to certain cases. Certain cases. You get the point? A brother met me recently, just within this program, and told me, you know, he's not here today. I just hope today is not his day. And told me that God has, that did I mention that people are, you know, I was mentioning here that I said that some of you, that God has put it in your heart to minister to expecting mothers. Do you remember that day? He came to me and said, for years, he sleeps, he sees it. He wakes up, he's been in his heart. And I told him somewhere in this meeting, I'm going to lay hands on you to be activated. I hope today is not that day. Because he's not here. I get what I'm saying. I really hope he's not today. He says, sir, but can't you learn from him at every time? There's a way things of the Spirit work. Just take it like that. That's the way it works. You understand? You can't, it's not every time. I was preparing for a meeting, one of our centers some years ago, and I saw a vision. I saw a lady passing through a lot of challenges, and I saw that I was going to lay hands on that lady. You saw my daughter, somebody I know very well. So, and there's something that I've known that I've been wrong with her life. And I knew I was going to lay hands on her in that meeting to deal with it. But then, the meeting she was around. I know the problem. Before that meeting, God already showed her that I was going to lay hands on her to deal with that matter. She didn't know what it was for, but she told me to lay hands on her. But throughout the meeting, she was around. But she was one of the organizers. So she was distracted. And she's following now because I corrected about that. She'll walk outside. She'll come inside. You know, that's why even if you're part of technical team, media team, don't miss your moment. Did you hear what I said? Don't be so engrossed that you're doing ushering and things are passing you by. So she'll go outside, she'll come in. And when it came, the Lord said, don't do that. She's not in the stripe of mind to receive whatever you want to. I said, I didn't last on her throughout the meeting. And after the meeting, I called her. I said, you had a vision while I was. She said, yes, sir. Why didn't you do it? I said, I saw it too. But you are not in. I said, just pray that in another meeting, the opportunity will come again. And pray you are okay in the right frame of mind to receive it. And eventually it came again because God is a God of multiple chances. I get the point? All this, if you miss God, it's over. It's a lie. If you miss God, he will find you. So don't be afraid. You know what I said? If you miss God, he will find you. Don't be afraid. Others, they say to scare you. Don't miss God. If you miss God, you'll find. Even Google Map. If you're following Google Map and you miss your way, it will reroute till you find your way. Isn't that God? If you miss God, he will find you. But that is if you are ready to be found. Because if that day, the next day that I was down in this church, it was a national program now. I was ministering and she was just sitting there. And that stuff, I just knew it was time. And I just knew that she was in. And I said, come. I didn't get the point. So I'm saying because when you are going for meetings, don't get distracted. Because certain things, because this brother now that spoke to me about this particular thing, because God actually told him. God showed him. He said, when I announced that somebody here is anointed to minister to respecting matter, he was shocked. He has never told anybody about that. And I told him that the outside, I said, a day is going to come, God will tell me to lay hands on you. But God has not told me, I pray it's not today. That's what I'm saying. I don't get the point. Because impartation can activate certain graces in you. Somebody can be anointed to minister to people that have heart conditions. I have that impartation. Yes. And I know when I received it. It's not been long. 2 years ago. Amen. That's anything that God has activated. Now, is it that God is not powerful to hear heart disease if you pray normally? It's the things of the Spirit. It just gets easier. I don't get the point. It just gets easier. It just gets easier. Amen. Now, let me see if I can tie this up. Because we must finish today. Amen. So when you observe a certain flow in your life, or when you deliberately want to get better in a certain flow, whatever thing you want to do, I'll give you 4 things that you can do to get better. Now, we are picking up from where we stopped yesterday on stirring up the gift of God in you. Okay? Picking up from. So if it is that this special anointing I'm noticing in my life, I want to fan it to flame. I want it to burn more. I want it to excel. Or I'm not even noticing this, but I want this in my life. What do I do? I'll tell you what to do. Number one, covet. We're really doing what I said you should do. Covet earnestly the best gifts. What that simply means is, 1 Corinthians 12:31. What that simply means is, you must have a strong desire to do that thing. I say it again and again. Any believer who does not have any strong desire to do spiritual things, you cannot be my friend. There should be a desire in you to raise the dead. Don't you want to raise the dead? When am I a pastor? You are not fit for ministry, sir. That's what it means. Convert earnestly. He said it in verse 31. Convert earnestly. He said it in chapter 14, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. Quickly. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So in verse 31 of chapter 12, he said, covet earnestly. Chapter 14, he used desire. Desire. Talking about prophecy in that context. In verse 39 of this chapter 14, verse 39, he said, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak it also. Covet. He said it 3 times. Strong desire to do spiritual things. And the context there, he was teaching on prophecy. So he said, convert it. So if you are an evangelist sent to the field, and you know that you will need a lot of miracles, I'm going to say to you, convert the working of miracles. Convert to flow in it. If you're a pastor, there are certain graces that must work in your life. Convert it. Desire to do and excel in it. He says, I thought it's God that gives this thing. Can we desire to do more of it? Did you not read verse 12 for 1 Corinthians 14? He said, seek that you may excel. So you can seek to excel in something. I get the point. You can seek to excel in something. You can seek to get better with tongues. You can seek to get better with interpretation. That desire must be there. That desire is one of the first things God will work with. Whatever he wants to start. That desire. Hunger. Hunger is a major tool in the spirit. Hunger. Amen. So there must be desire. I feel bad when I see Christians who actually don't have any desire to do spiritual things. It means they will really not go very far with God. What stood out Elisha and the other prophets? The other source of the prophets. Everywhere Elijah was going, he stuck with him. And I said, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of you. He wanted something. So you want something, you want to flow better. That desire should be burning in your heart. So the Redeemer say it's impartation time. That is a gift of this. But there's somebody just moving around, walking up. And that's how you will never flow in nothing. You won't. Because you may desire in your heart. There are things I've done that maybe you are not totally correct. But they all marked that I had a desire. I fasted for 9 weeks. each week praying for one gift of the Spirit for me to receive it. Not even for it to flow. For me to I believe I didn't have it. But the end point was, there was a desire. There was a desire. And that's the first thing. There must be a strong covet. And covet is a strong word. Covet is actually a negative word. You know what covet is? As in a strong desire to steal from someone. You know, it's actually a negative word. But Paul had to borrow it to show you the kind of desire you must have towards flowing in these things. You must want to heal the sick the more. You must want to prophesy the more. Amen. You notice a special flow in your life. You must want to get better with it. There is no special flow, but you want this in your life because, oh, there's a ministry that they've just given to me. You know, they just said I should head this. They said I should head the students' unit. They said I should head this. Oh, Lord, what do I... Now, Lord, I want this. There should be that desire in your heart. I don't want to minister to these people ordinarily. I don't want to minister to these people without having this. I don't want to say we should go for evangelism. I don't want to get to the street without being able to heal the sick. I don't want to enter the street without being able to prophesy. Lord, I want to be able to see into... That should be that desire. I know you put this thing in me, but I want you to gain expression. Covet. Do you get the point? So, number one, I said covet. Number two, I'm already talking about it. Pray. Pray. It is common knowledge that the things of the Spirit will become more pronounced in the man that prays. The things of the Spirit will become more pronounced in the man that prays. Jude verse 20, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost. Amplified Classic of that says, and you beloved, build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Rise, he said, build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher by praying in the Holy Ghost. So one to rise and make progress in the Spirit is by prayer. James 5:16 tells us that the earnest prayer of the righteous man maketh repentance available. Amplified Classic tells us the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. So you want to make power available for any situation, pray. So if you give yourself to prayer, the things of the Spirit will gain much more expression through you. Now, yet this, it doesn't mean that prayer will give you the gift of God. But prayer will release that gift from you. Look at what the Bible says. It will make power available. Yeah. So, it is actually strange to desire to flow in the supernatural without actually prayer. You know, the thing is, I've said this many times, there are many of our fathers, many of our mothers, who do not know everything I am saying now. You understand? They don't know. But they manifest, they may not know the name of the gift, but are flowing in it. Because some of those guys have a dangerous prayer life. Daily morning devotion, they read it, they don't break it. They may not be praying right, but are praying. Did I not tell you guys the story of one of our people here that the mom was robbed, they took her card. They exchanged her card. When she went to withdraw money. And then when she found out, she got into a vehicle. Or her vehicle, he said, something just said, drive to so-so place. She drove to the place. And guess what? Saw the guy there with her car trying to withdraw money. So she came down and, of course, she was already making transactions, she was already getting alerts. So she came down and tried to raise alarm. The guy entered Kekara. So as she was ready to get help, somebody came and said, get on my vehicle. Get my vehicle, let's go. Let's go find him. Let's follow him. Now, they followed the guy to a point. They lost that guy two times. But every time they lose him, something will still say, take your rights. And she will take, I'm fine. The guy was surprised. What is this? Once they move, something will say, move to. There was a time they lost them. Something said, take Bisala Road. She took Bisala Road and imagine you're the thief that pursues. Imagine, you think if something we say, oh, come on. Now, she may not be able to know the name of that insane. But I told that guy, I said, this is a product of your mother's prayer life. I said, I can almost swear, your mom does money devotion every morning. She said, yes, every morning. I said, that's how those mothers are. You see, that consistency built in prayer, it opens them up to spiritual faith. They may not know the name. They may not be able to explain it to you. They cannot tell you all the story. They cannot say this thing I'm saying. But when the die is cast, something will say. Because prayer opens you up to spiritual flows. Mightily. Mightily. That's some of you wonder why your mother can call you from nowhere and start giving you some kind of advice. Has it not happened to you? Just call you up from nowhere. After I say something one day, mommy, did you see me your dream? It's prayer. They may not have all the knowledge. Thank God for knowledge, but you see, God doesn't pray. Have a prayer life. So you look at some of these ancient, some of our people call our fathers, all these older guys. If you came from a CAC background, see all those old Yoruba people. Those people, they don't know anything about the Bible. Though. They don't even know how to speak English. But Yoruko Jesu. Once they enter that thing, this happened. They just come and sit down and they will have an English interpreter. And they will be telling you things. And you're wondering how. You know Bible more than them. But they know prayer more than you. That prayer will open them. The only problem is that if there is no knowledge, things cannot be bastardized. That's why knowledge is important. But you see, just reading your Bible alone can never make you know how to flow in the spirit of God. There is a limit to what you can do. Did you see, before Acts chapter 2, what did Jesus do before Acts chapter 2? He taught them for 40 days. After that, he sent them to the upper room to pray for 10 days before Acts chapter 2 arrived. So when Acts chapter 2 came, all of them began to flow. So 10 days prayer preceded that. So when you see me say, pray every day. 30 pray for 15 minutes. All of those, I'm trying to set. Some of you, if you're paying attention, you've been a lot more sensitive to spiritual things in recent times. In these 30 days. Yeah. If you go kill the sick, it should be easier now. There are many things to stir up in you that you didn't know. That's what I want to say to you. When you pray, the first result of prayer is not the answer you get from prayer. There are things happening to you beyond the answer you are getting. Oh, if you are praying for a job, the major result of that prayer is not actually the job you are getting. That's why you should never say, I prayed, but nothing happened. Because it's not possible. You might pray, but you've not gotten a job yet. But that time you are spending in prayer, it's not in vain. Something is happening. I've seen other Christians that don't have many things. So, have you gone to the village? I meet all these older Christians in the village. Those people, they don't have knowledge. They are even very backward in their thinking. But they know some spiritual things. If they school you, you will know. If they school you, you will know. One of Dr. Lukoya that said they were in a meeting. He was a young guy. One old baba just came into church. And we just walked straight to one woman standing and said, see, don't, next time you walk into this church, walking upside down with your head, I will deal with you. Did you hear what I said? The woman said, yes, I will not do it again, sir. Walking with your head. He said he himself standing there. That is sight by the Spirit. Besides, and it's in prayer. For me, that's the time to change your seat. Because he said the woman did not object. The woman did not say, how do you mean I'm walking upside? He said, yes, I won't do that again, sir. That's why there are churches you can get to, and there are witches sitting in the congregation overseeing. I don't want to say some things. There are churches you get to, the committee of the church, the all those things. You see, occultic men sitting there comfortably and making decisions. Because there is a man who does have a prayer altar holding the mic. I get the point. Are you not even afraid? You're not afraid. Just come and sit as you are sitting. Who just drug you? If you are sitting, you came to sit. Now, let me say this to you. You want to see more of the power of God. You want to see. Just, I'm not saying I'm praying for 30 hours after this meeting. Just be praying. Look at this verse. The earnest. Key number one. Earnest. That's passionate prayer. Heartfelt. continued prayer for that. It's not about praying for 1 hour or for 3 hours and say, I came out charged. Continued. Just have a prayer coach every day. Every day, every day. You're going to flow, you're going to see some kind of crazy moves of God that you've not seen. Some of you that go for missions, let me give you an example of what I'm saying. Who has ever gone for missions here? For 1 week or 1 month? Anybody 1 month mission? When you go for 3 weeks to 1 month mission, towards the end of that mission, do you always observe miracles break out? Much more. You know why? That routine they put you guys through in that mission. I don't know the kind of mission you went for, but the kind of mission me I used to go to. 12 midnight, we pray sometimes 12 to 3. Wake up in the morning, pray 6 to 7. Go evangelist, come back, pray. Guy. 1 month, every day. They can't break it. When I prayed one night, I woke up, I said, do you people want to kill me? And the kind of results we had in that mission were young. Now, I was telling some of my friends, I said, the mistake that some of our leaders, I believe they made was, there was no proper structure to document those testimonies. Those kind of testimonies, you read them in God's general. Imbecile getting healed. Read like, this is not, it's not by Bishop Edeko, small, small boys. That's when I told the first time I said, dead person come back to life. As a small boy, as a school boy. The thing we are soaking up in that vision, you can't do that and remain the same. I get the point. That's really the secret. That routine they put you guys through. Every morning pray, every night pray, every morning pray, every you step go tired. At the time we did one of those missions, we did 3 days non-stop prayer. And we are four or five. So you go in, you pray for 2 hours. Once you are rounding up, another person comes in to pray for 2 hours. So you have like 6, 7, 8 hours to rest. Your 2 hours. Prayer was going on in that house for 3 days non-stop. I say, if you walk into that our room, you will fall under the anointing. It's not all your knowledge. You will enter that room, you will collapse. I'm not joking. People coming, somebody has come in. Many people. We came with fine girls. Some of the girls there were fine. So those ladies just might go find a woman. Real. They'll come into that place to find a woman. Say hello. If they come here, welcome. Sit down. They come, they leave, they're speaking in tongues. Not one, not two, not three. So it became popular. Don't go there. If you go there, you will collect. You get the point. So when you see me set up some of this kind of structure and regimen, it's because apart from all of this you are praying about, the fact that you are praying, you see this, your mouth, let's be moving. You see that? You are making tremendous power available. Sight is giving you, you are generating so much from your inside. So much. So, prayer. You know number 3 thing that will help you get better with spiritual flow? Faith. Faith. And this is very important. Somebody needs to hear this. Faith. The Bible said in, that's Romans 12 verse 6. It said, if anybody prophesies, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Let him prophesy, whether prophesy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Let me tell you what this simply means. One major reason why people don't flow so much in spiritual things is because there is a wrong belief system in their head. So some persons don't speak it until they don't believe they can. Somebody has told them they cannot. That reason is the same reason why you've not healed the sick. Or somehow you believe that God can heal the sick. You just don't believe that God can heal the sick through you. So if you meet someone that has malaria, you will lay hands. They say somebody's leg is decaying. You tell the person, we have Zoe. Let me bring you there. Now, so it's not God you are doubting that can heal. Somehow you just don't believe that it is through you that the person will be healed. So we have Zoe. My pastor will be there. Do you understand? Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that is the reason. Because somehow you're not doubting God. You're just doubting God in you. You're doubting the ability of God in you. Do you understand the point? That is the same reason why God will tell you that your neighbor is this and that, you say, it's my mind, it's my mind. If I see it and it's a lie, that faith is the problem. So you see, your prophecy is according to the proportion of faith. I get what I'm talking about here. Go and lay hands on that person. Say, what if I go and the person doesn't get well? That is that missing link. That faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I can say, without faith, it is impossible to fully flow in any gift of God, including tongues. Do you know the reason you speak in tongues is because you have faith? You believe that what you are saying, even though it's gibberish, you believe it is correct. Think about that. Now, if you don't believe it's correct, you don't speak it. It's because you believe that what you're saying is correct. That's what I'm saying. Even though it doesn't make sense, no. But you believe it's correct. Yes, that's why you're speaking it. That same way, somebody prays in tongues, shabada bada 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 bada, interpret it. Why will you interpret it? Because you believe that what you want to say is the interpretation. You know, there is no proof that it's the interpretation. You know, tell the point. It's not like grammar that if you make mistake, I got. There's no proof. So why will you not give it? Because you believe that interpretation. That faith to believe that what I'm going to say is correct. You get the point? You are here, you perceive that there is somebody here. Your name is Nkiru and your left back is paining you. Why will you say it? Glory to God. Why will you say it? Because you believe that it is correct. If you doubt that it is God speaking to you, you will not say it. So the more missing link is faith. That's where I'm going to bring in studying God's word again. Because you have to believe that God can move through you. You have to believe that God can pass through you. Do you know why people that one major reason why people I said when you start, use helps you gain mastery. One major reason why that happens is that by the time you start using something over and over again, you are growing more faith in that stuff. For instance, if you come out here and say, there's somebody here, your name is Casey. And Pastor Casey comes and says, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. Tomorrow, when the Lord says that somebody here, your name is Evans, you'll be bolder to say it. What is changing? You're just developing more faith in that gift. I get the point. You pray for one sick person, person gets well. Tomorrow, if you see another sick person, you can't pray. Because do you understand? So faith is the missing link. That's why you must get to the word of God. Build your faith. Again, I go back to what I said 2 days ago. Anything that is an attack on your... Whenever people say, oh, miracles are fake. That doubt that planting in your heart is one major hindrance to your spiritual flow. So, you must have faith in what God has put inside of you. So, Paul kept reminding Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Because there is a gift in you. Don't forget. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, neglect it not. Don't ever lose sight of it. Keep it before you. Amen. In fact, go to 2 Timothy 1:6. It says, stir up the gift that is within you by putting off my hands and all of that. What advice came again? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love. In other words, Timothy, do not be afraid to use these gifts. Do not be afraid to flow in them. God has not given a spirit of fear. I know what I'm talking about. Do not be afraid to lay hands on the sick. Do not be afraid to cast out devils. Do not be afraid to speak by the Spirit. Do not be afraid to say what you see and say what you hear. It's one major way to stir up the gift of God in you. Don't operate in fear. What you see is correct. What you hear is, if you can dare to believe that what I hear is correct, you have results. If you can dare to believe that when I lay hands, something will happen, you have results. If you can dare to believe that the interpretation of tongues in my heart is correct, you have results. That doubt there, that fear there, is why you're not yet flowing excellently in those gifts. So, faith. So, whether we call it a special grace or anything, if you're not giving to prayer, you're not giving, and faith particularly, you cannot have it manifest. But there are some of you in this place, okay? There are things that God has put inside of you. What is stopping you from having results there is that you don't even believe. You that still doubt your God just do this. Say, what if it's not true? What if it's not true? What if I'm just manipulating? What if I'm just watching it? It's God talking to you. It's God talking to you. I feel what I'm saying. Lay hands on the sick. What if I lay and nothing happens? That's the problem. It's not that you are doubting God. You are doubting what God has done in you. That's why the teaching on new creation realities is very powerful. Because it helps you develop faith in yourself in Christ. Or can I put it this way? Faith in who you are in Christ. I get what I'm saying now. Faith in who you are. You know, some of the results we had growing up, it was because we so much believed that God was working in us. Not once, not twice. They will say, that shrine, anybody that enters there dies. If you see the race, the world used to rush in. Like, hey, we are here. After 10 minutes, you come out. Anyone that shrine to enter. Real life. On another fear, there is no time to think it. Because if you start thinking, you start analyzing it. Enter. Touch things. Come out one or two things. As proof that I entered. Is there another place you are entering? Now, that is not just faith in God. That is faith in who God has made you. You believe that you cannot enter, not to happen. Not once, not twice. And I'm saying, I'm actually looking for someone that has an evil forest. Where if you enter, you will die. Give us, we'll come and build church there. Just we'll sign an agreement that you guys will never come for that land again. Because Tobago can go by Eclair, Chayo, and Abia Chovia. We'll sign an agreement. You never come. We'll go and build church there. Look, tell me the evil forest. Let me see what God will be doing in heaven to watch all of us die inside that place. It's not possible. Another thing I'm asking for, please. If you know any haunted house, any house people have abandoned that say once you leave there, you start hearing cry of baby in the night, please inform us. We love babies. When they start crying, we start crying too. No, those things don't fear me. Please, if you know any house like that, please contact us, okay? I'm very serious. I said, I won't even pray. I won't even pray.
He said, there's one day, there's that crying, buy akara. Oh, buy.
Buy akara and keko and they bring it. Who buy? No, we've gone beyond that fear. We want to do spiritual things. Be bold in what God has made you. And so don't say we're just speaking empty words. These are not empty words. These are words coming from knowledge of who God has made us. That's not empty word. Empty word is where you are lying. As you are now, you say, I can carry this burden on my head. That's empty word. But if you say, I'm a boy, that's not an empty word. You're saying who you are. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? So when we say we will enter not to happen, we are saying who we are. That's how to influence people. That is faith. When there's a sick person, put hands on the person. Believe that through my hands, this body can be fixed. I get to the point. Someone said, I've never prayed in tongues. Lay hands on the person. The problem is you are not doubting God, you are doubting yourself. So, Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you, that is upon you by laying of my hands. What do you do next? For God has not given us the spirit of fear. What is he for? For means, therefore. The reason I'm saying this is because you don't have the spirit of fear. So go use it. Go do it. Lay hands on the sick. What did I say? Lay hands on the sick. Attempt to lay hands on the sick. Dare to raise the dead. Dare to take steps of faith. Dare to say what you hear and say what you see. Just attempt. There's nobody that would die for attempting. Attempt. Attempt to look at your neighbor and say, look at what the Lord said to me. Oh, glory to God. Look at what the Lord said to me. Oh, hallelujah. Because I want to say to someone, the things you are hearing are correct. Did you hear what I said? The things you are hearing are correct. You're not making it up. I'm telling you. You know what's happening to you? Just like that first day you spoke. Do you remember the first day you spoke in tongues? When you gave your first syllables, something made you feel like you are forging it. Whoever felt that way the first day? First they just shantara baraba. Even you wanted to laugh. You say, which one am I saying? What? But you see, because you've been speaking it for long, it will take something else for somebody to convince you that your tongues is fake. Because you've spoken it a very long time. Attempts to lay hands on the sick. Attempts to command deafness to go. Attempts. I told you guys, I received an anointing for opening deaf ears by impartation. But you see, before that anointing ever manifested, it was 5 months after. 5 months after. Do you know why? Because that was when I put hands on a deaf person. So if I didn't attempt to do that, you would have never seen that result. How many of you are blessed today? Let me give you the last one. How to stir up and activate this thing? Of course, consistency. I want to say that again. Consistency. Glory to God. So if you do it today, do it tomorrow. If you teach today, teach tomorrow. If you cast out devils today, cast out devils tomorrow. I get the point. If you prophesy today, prophesy tomorrow. If you give word of knowledge today, give it tomorrow consistently. And someone is asking me, you are speaking this confidently as though, and I'm going to close with this. It's not in my notes, but I just got it by the Holy Ghost. You are speaking this confidently as though it cannot fail. What if it fails? You know, I heard that from somebody's spirit just now. Let me make it very clear. The things of the spirit cannot fail. However, you can miss it. It cannot fail, but you can miss it. Now, but that's not a problem. Because when you began to walk as a baby, you took your first steps and you fell. You took your second steps and you fell. And also some of you don't used to realize that, oh, I just got up as well. If you see a father and a mother, like Bro Ben and Star Blessing, the first day the child took the first step, you are so happy. So you're even almost going to video the child. That's actually how God feels the first day you begin to take your baby steps. The first day you try to heal the sick. He's not bothered. You see, when your child takes the first steps, your concern is not that he fell down. Your concern is that he stood up to try. So when you take that step to heal the sick and it's not working, you're the one bothering that it's not working. God is happy that my child is taking his first baby steps. So take your first baby steps. What is interesting, God, is that you attempted to say what I put in your heart. Now, you said there is a pain on your right hand. The person said, no, it's on my left hand. Now, you are bothered with, I've messed this up. God is bothered, is interested at, the first steps. You know that first steps is always very exciting to every parent. And I tell you, even as a spiritual parent, it's always exciting. Sometimes when I see any of my protege or my sons that I'm training, preach at first. His preaching is fidgeting. He comes, as soon as they come down, I'll come and stay like this. Some of you know what I'm saying. Now, my excitement is, he's taking his first baby steps. It's not embarrassing to God that you missed it. That's what I'm saying. It's not embarrassing. I don't know, I just feel embarrassed. It's not embarrassing to God. You get the point? Like some of the people in the choir now, some of you, the first day you led songs, you finished leading the song, and went to the back and started crying. Because you know you sang OP. But me, from where I'm sitting down, I'm so excited that this girl, and I remember the first day I'm at Okocha, I sang. I don't know if you remember. I think I was on that, I even called her to come and sing. But then, that's what we were doing. Is it Holy Ghost with us? So after she went back feeling, what did I go through on that stage? But the excitement is, she took the step. Take your first baby steps. Put hands on the sick. God is not embarrassed. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's not saying, Jesus Christ. He's not on the left leg, he's on the right leg, this boy. That's not bothered about that. A better thing is that you got up and you try to walk. Do it consistently. Stop saying what if it fails. You cannot fail, but you can miss it. Why can you miss it? Because you're a human being. And you're a human being, you're growing. You're just like a boy, a child can try to walk and fall. You get the point? Now, he's not falling because he doesn't have legs. those legs have not been trained for use. So what do? He might stand, do you know, the child might be standing and falling for even 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The father never gets tired. He's just happy that he's attempting to stand. Where there is a problem where you start going to hospital is when you give birth to a child, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, he doesn't ever try to get up. I get to the point. And I have to go to the doctor and say, doctor, what is up? Is he crippled? I get the point. The point is, you are not trying to get up. You are not trying to, or you tried and you failed and you sat down there. Don't you see the energy in children when they try and they fall? You better hold their breath because they're going to stand up again. You better, it's you. Oh, that God is by the Holy Ghost. It is you, the father, that is following the child that to make sure it doesn't fall. The child is just walking. The one pushing the child, make sure, because children sometimes they don't. Something tells them they can climb, even if they cannot walk. Now, it's not their business, it's your business. So, you are the one, you shouldn't be the one bothered about failing. It is God that has that concern. Take your baby steps. Dare to prophesy. Dare to give word of knowledge. Dare to say what you see. Dare to lay hands on the sick. Dare to cast out devils. Don't bother about failing, because even if you look like you failed, the father is excited that my baby is taking his first baby steps. Are you know what I'm talking about? So the first day you try to preach to someone and you talk nonsense. Say, Jesus loves you. We died for him. No, you died. God is not bothered because he said, we died for him. His tension. I've heard people speak some terrible English on this stage and I know his tension. Say, we died for him on the cross. No. He died for us on the cross. Now, you are the one thinking he didn't get born again. He didn't even understand what I was saying. But God knows my baby is taking steps. And if you take that step consistently, we will master this. It's getting better. Is it getting better? Is it getting better? Glory to God. So go master this. Some of you as you begin to do this, special graces will gain expression in your life. You'll find that there are things you can actually do that God has put in you, but you've not been making moves. So, convert spiritual gifts. Pray in the spirit a lot. Have faith in what God has put in you. Be bold enough to take the step. Have faith. Then do it consistently. Repeat the process. How I want to say it is, convert the gifts of spirit. Pray consistently. Believe in what God has put in you. Then repeat 1-3 again and again. Repeat it. Convert. Pray. Take steps of faith. Repeat it. Convert. Pray. Just keep repeating that process. Keep repeating it. And at different times by impartation and training, God is going to bring some grace into your life. Every time He brings any of those special grace into your life, what do you do? Repeat this process. Convert. Pray. Take this step. Oh, they were praying. Pastor said, from now, there's a special ability to open deaf ears. Convert. Pray. Lands on a deaf ear. Oh, I've anointed you to trust the Lord. You can now flow in wisdom. That is now an ability to flow in the wisdom of God. Convert, pray, give counsels to people. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes somebody is passing through tough time. Some of you, and I'm saying this because some of you have that grace. Somebody is passing through tough time, and somehow you know what to tell this person and he'll be fine. But you're holding back. That's a gift. You're actually stifling. It's a grace that's stifling. I get the point. You know what to tell this person, but you know exactly what to say. In fact, you've played it out to your mind, you know this, and you know you do not know it naturally. It's just that you know it. Don't stay feel that flow. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. Release yourself to flow in spiritual things. Release yourself. Amen. So convert, pray, then have faith, take steps of faith. Take steps of faith. Put your leg on that water and walk. Ask that food. Say, sir, I don't know if I can multiply food. You know why you don't know? You've never asked food to multiply. That's what I'm trying to say. Next time your food is made for, command it to multiply. Yes. Because you don't even know whether. What if you have a special gift to multiply food? Do you know? Have you ever done it? You think you have a special grace, God will come and tell you, I've given you. You don't even know. Because you've never ever asked food to multiply. What if you have a special grace for kidney cases? Will you know? Have you ever seen it? It's not you that will see kidney cases and run. Say kidney. Say, I'm looking for malaria. It's not kidney. I came as fine. No. Confess. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The hand of God is upon my life. It's upon my life mightily. And He's steering me to do mighty things. He's steering me to take mighty steps by the Holy Ghost. I am not ordinary. I take spirit-inspired steps. I make spirit-inspired moves. God's hand is upon my life. I'm not just alone. I function by the Spirit. I take steps by the Spirit. I make progress by the Spirit. I lay hands on the sick. I cast out devils. I see by the Spirit. And I know by the Spirit. And I speak by the Spirit. I have supernatural results. For I will take the steps that I must take. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Therefore, I will stir up the gift that is in me. I will take the step. I will take that step. I will flow in the Spirit. I will interpret tongues. I will do all that God has equipped me to do. In the name of Jesus. Are you blessed today? Glory to God. What a meeting. What a blessing. If you go home, pray. You know, because not some of you actually want to pray. When you go home, pray, because you have to be done. You have to close now. Amen. If you go home, spend your time and pray. And keep doing that. There is so much. Make sure that before the end of these 30 days, something, the grace is that God is just depositing in many of you. Amen. So don't hold yourself back. Okay? Keep fully to it. Are you blessed?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.